So here in Exodus 16, Israel has been through the Red Sea. And as we saw last week in chapter 15, they sang this amazing song. And then at the end of the chapter, they went to Marah, where they found bitter water. And immediately murmured and complained. And then God showed Moses a tree which healed the waters. And so now it's time for them to move again. Even though he took them from Marah to Elam, where there was an oasis. As we saw there, 70 palm trees and 12 wells of water. If it would have been up to them, they would have stayed there for good, right? And if it was up to us, we would stay at the oasis for our entire Christian lives. But it doesn't work that way. God's going to move us on, as we will see. So chapter 16, verse 1, and they took their journey from Elam, and all the congregation, children of Israel, came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full, for he had brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. So that's our title, Walk in My Law or No. Lord, give us wisdom. Use your word to teach us tonight. Thank you for it and all the lessons we've already learned from Israel. May we continue to learn and apply to our own walk. And Lord, may you be pleased and glorified in this service. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, we cannot live at the oasis. It's not how the Christian life works. Remember, it was God who would have picked up the cloud or the fire, the pillar, and said, it's time to move. It's time to move from the oasis of Elam. We're going into the wilderness now. And Israel didn't waste any time, did they? Verse 2, the whole congregation, every single Jew that had been rescued from Egypt, brought through the Red Sea, drank miraculous water at Marah, immediately murmured about food. The lack of food. But they didn't murmur against God. They murmured against Moses and Aaron. Of course, the leader always makes a good target for murmuring, doesn't he, when things don't go our way. But look at the foolish statements that they made. Would to God we had died. That's a foolish statement. We would have been better off if we had just died in Egypt, than to be right here where we are right now, rescued by God from Egypt, delivered through the Red Sea, watched the army destroyed, just drank miraculous water at Marah. We'd be better off dead. And then verse 3, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness. Wait a minute, who is leading them right now? God is. The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire is still there and is still showing them where to go. And yet they're looking and saying, Moses, you and Aaron brought us forth into this wilderness. No, they didn't. They were following the Lord. The Lord led them into the wilderness. But here we see in verse 3, we sat by the flesh pots. We ate bread to the full. What a load of rubbish. They were slaves. They didn't just sit around by the flesh pots. They didn't eat bread to the full. They were mistreated, which is why they had been crying out to God for deliverance. And this pictures Christians who, when they get discontented with their Christian life, they begin to look back and think that things in the past were better than they actually were. The devil's good at that. And so they've already lost their faith in God's ability to take care of them that quick. And so here we have a picture of a Christian who is discontented with his situation, being in the wilderness. And here we have God's third test already. In this short time, God is now testing them three times. First, he tested them relative to protection, right? He trapped them by the Red Sea. They were trapped with the army. Will God protect us, or will he allow us to be killed by the Egyptian army? They crossed the Red Sea. They sang their song of redemption. Then he tested them. Will he provide with the waters of Marah? And now he's about to test them with the question, will you obey me? So provision, protection, and obedience. Three ways in which God tests us. And he didn't wait around for it. This is their early part of their journey. But because it's early, God is showing a lot of patience and mercy, isn't he? He didn't respond with anger or punishment. He responded with, verse 4, I will rain down bread from heaven. That's quite beautiful. This sort of response is going to change, by the way, as they get further in and as they murmur more and more times. It won't be, okay, I'm going to take care of your need. It's going to be, here's some punishment. Here's some fiery serpents. Here's some plagues. Because nothing angered God, as we've talked about, and we'll see, more than murmuring. But God said, I will. I will give you bread from heaven. And, of course, he's going to give them the quails, and he's going to give them the manna. And show them that our God is a God of infinite resources. We need to stop and realize that God fed 2 million people every day for 40 years. Think about how much food that is. 40 years he fed them, dropped this miraculous food out of the sky for 40 years and fed his people every day. It's amazing. And we know what the manna represents. It represents the Lord Jesus Christ. We can look at John 6 and we'll see this. This manna provision was an amazing thing in the life of Israel, and they never forgot it. Just like they never forgot being delivered from Egypt, they never forgot the manna. So look at John 6:35. Jesus said unto them, let's move back up a little bit. Verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Moses had nothing to do with the bread. This was God. Verse 33, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. We'd love to have free food for the rest of our lives. That's what they want. Jesus said unto them, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. And then over verse 48, I am that bread of life. Verse 49. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And that the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. So there's no question what the manna pictured. Amen. It pictured the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life. He says so himself, except that his bread is eternal. Their bread was very temporary. So God's testing them. Their first test, of course, was the protection trial at the Red Sea. Their second test was the provision trial at Marah. And now he's testing them with obedience. Verse 4, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day that I may, there it is again, prove them. He just said that in chapter 15, verse 25. He proved them at Marah. Look at it, 15:25. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast in the waters made were sweet, and he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And by the way, don't when you see that word sin there, that's not talking about our word for sin. That's just a English translation of a Hebrew description of a place. I've heard people before in sermons try to say that's talking about sin as we know it, and that's not a proper corollary to use. It's a place. So now he's going to test them with obedience. He says, okay, I'm going to give you this bread from heaven, but I'm going to attach some rules to it. I'm going to give you three rules. Of course, that obedience test was the first test of mankind, wasn't it? In the Garden of Eden. They only have one rule, just one. You can do whatever you want. This is your garden. You get to name everything. You get to enjoy this garden. I'm going to come in fellowship with you every day. Just one rule. Don't eat at that one tree. That's it. So now he's going to give them three rules for the manna. So we'll look at those rules real quick. Verse 5, it shall come to pass that on the sixth day, they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. So rule number one was on Friday, they gathered twice as much. And so every week for 40 years, God worked a second miracle. It was already a miracle to be dropping this food out of the sky, but he worked a second miracle where normally, if you tried to store it, it would go off. But that was true except for Friday night, where God didn't make it go off. So that on the Sabbath day, Saturday, they didn't go out and gather. So that was rule number one. Rule number two is in verse 16. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tents. Rule number two was, you were only allowed to gather each day enough for that day. You could not store it up and say, you know, I'm in the mood for a holiday. I'm going to gather 5 days worth today so I don't have to go gather tomorrow and the next day. And they went and they found that it bred worms and stank. You had to gather every day for that day. So that was rule number two. Rule number one, double on Friday. Don't gather on Saturday. Rule number two, gather each day enough for that day. And rule number three, verse 21, and they gathered it every morning. Every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. So you couldn't sleep in and say, I'm going to go get mine after lunch. If you did, it would be useless. So you had to gather it in the morning. That's it. Three things. Now we'll have to go through this passage again next week from a different perspective, verses 21 to 27, where we will find out that the rules about the manna teach us a lot about God's intentions for us and his word. Because the manna, yes, it pictured the Lord Jesus Christ, but it also pictures the word of God. And Jesus is the word of God, of course. But we'll talk about that next week. Tonight is about obedience. God says in verse 4, I will prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Because it won't be long before we're going to go to Mount Sinai and I'm going to give Moses more laws. And so I want to prove them to see, will they walk in my law? Right now, I'm just giving them three rules about this manna that I'm going to drop down from the sky every day. Gather double on Friday. You got to gather it in the morning and you can't store it. That's it. Just going to prove them. Just to see if they can just obey these three simple rules. So let's go back to verse 6. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even then you shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning then you shall see the glory of the Lord. For he that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what are we that you murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, in the morning bread to the full, that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which you murmur against us. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Did you see the word murmur show up a few times there in verses 7 and 8? Murmuring against God angers God. Murmuring against God's man is essentially murmuring against God. That's what Moses said. In verse 9, Moses spake and said, all the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. Verse 12, I have heard the murmurings. This is God speaking of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at evening ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. All this murmuring and complaining, and God met their needs anyway. Isn't God merciful? And all the mistakes that we make and the stumblings that we have in our Christian life, and God takes care of us anyway. Here they murmured, and God said, I hear the murmurings, but I'm going to take care of you. And of course, he sent down the quail in the evening and then the manna the next morning. So we know what the rules are. So verse 20. Notwithstanding. Remember, God says, I'm going to prove you. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. So there they broke rule number two. He said, don't store it up. Some of the people tried anyway. Remember, this is a test. This is an obedience to proving. Will you obey my three rules? And then down in verse 27, it says, and it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. So there they broke rule number one. You're not allowed to gather on the Sabbath day. They're not doing too well with this test, are they? And here's God's response, verse 28. How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? They angered God with their disobedience. They tried to gather on the Sabbath. They tried to leave it till morning. This all started with a trial, with a test, with a proving. God took them into the wilderness. There's nothing to eat. What should their response have been? Well, he just took care of us with the army. He just took care of us with the bitter water. He's going to take care of us. But no, it was murmuring, complaining. God should have killed us. We miss Egypt. It was wonderful. It was so good back there. And already now... just with these extra two, five times already, Israel has tempted God. And I'll show you that. Look at Numbers 14, verse 22. Here God is recounting the times that Israel tempted and angered him. Numbers 14, 22, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. That's not a general 10, that's a literal 10. And we've already seen 5 of the 10. Isn't that amazing? That fast, that soon, in their deliverance from Egypt, they've already tempted God 5 times. They tempted him at the Red Sea and said, God brought us out here to kill us. They crossed the Red Sea, sang a song. They tempted him at the waters of Marah. Woe is us, no water to drink. They murmured. God gave them sweet water, took them to the oasis and said, it's time to go into the wilderness. And they immediately then tempted him by murmuring about not having any food. There's three. The thing about God says, I'll provide your food because I'm a God of provision and I love my children. And I'm going to take care of you despite your murmurings. So I'm going to give you some quails tonight. And then starting tomorrow, you get food from heaven every day except the Sabbath day. So I'm just going to give you three rules. I want to see if you will obey me or not. And of course, they broke two of the rules right off the bat. Some people went out and tried to gather on the Sabbath day and others tried to store it. And God's response, verse 28, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? You know, sometimes a consistent trial in our life is God waiting for us to step out by faith and obey in an area where we know we should be obeying. To step out by faith and do the right thing. He might just take away the trial. But he's going to prove us to see if we will walk in his law or no. You and I have about 150 to follow. So we have a huge responsibility to know what those are and to obey them. Does God test us? Absolutely. Does he test us in the same ways? Yes. Does he sometimes test us to see how our response will be when it looks like we need his protection from danger or attack? Absolutely. Does he sometimes bring us to the point where we wonder if he will provide for us like he provided for them, the water and the quails and the manna? Yes. Sometimes he will bring us to that point to see how are we going to respond. Does God test us to see, are we going to obey his word? Yes. It started in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? And now he's given us commandments, and we're commanded to obey. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. But here God specifically said, he didn't beat around the bush, he said, that I may prove them. I'm going to test them right now. I'm going to give them this free food, but I'm going to just give them three rules. I'm going to see what they'll do. What do? They disobeyed. And God's response was to get angry. He hasn't punished them yet. That's coming later. But his response was to get angry and say, when are you going to obey? How long refuse ye, verse 28, to keep my commandments and my laws? I've only given you three. You're about to get a lot more on Mount Sinai. I'm testing you to see if you will obey my law, obey my rules. And God is watching each one of us. Will you obey? But I love how he finished the chapter, verse 35. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years. People have estimated how much food that would have taken. And that quantities are mind-boggling. 365 days a year times 40 years times 2 million people. Think about how much food that was. Just falling out of the sky. It won't be long before the mixed multitude says, we are sick and tired of this free food. We don't like it anymore. Now remember, and we'll see this next week when we go through verses 21 and 27. Here's our free food, amen? God's preserved it for us, translated it for us. We hold it in our hands. But it's our responsibility to what? Eat it every day, amen? To gather it every day. We can't say, oh, I'll just read enough today for the week. Spoiling next week, so I better stop. Anyway, whether you will walk in my law or no, God asks us the same questions. I've given you my law. I've given you my commandments. I'm testing you as your father. Will you walk in my law or no? Every father, every mother goes through this with their own children. Here are the laws of our home. Are you going to walk in my laws or not? Because if you choose not to, we're going to have to apply the rod of correction to the seed of understanding. That's your choice. But here are my laws. God says, here are my laws. I'm proving you. So our response should be, yes, Lord. To the best of my ability, I'm going to walk in your laws. We better make sure we know what they are and we're doing our best to obey them. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this great lesson from the life of the nation of Israel, how you tested them, Lord, already these three times. And Lord, how they failed every time. May we not fail when we are tested through provision, protection, obedience, other ways. May we respond as you would have us to. And Lord, never to murmur. So I pray that we would get a hold of the great truth that you are a God that provides. You are a God that blesses. You are a God that is patient. But you're also a God that expects obedience from your children. And I pray that would weigh on us heavily as we serve you. Thank you and speak to our hearts in this invitation time. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.